accession number 18573, Reel 7.
Mr. Wynard, Reel 7.
Yeah. Well, the lady came back the next day, so I don't think she was all that upset. Well, I continued in the same surgery. The conditions in Bavaria at the time were atrocious. Food was very scarce. Obviously, everything was on ration, and I might say very short rations. My family were fortunate enough in that my mother knew a local farmer. She used to help out at harvest time. And therefore, she used to be able to bring home bread, which was baked on the farm, meat. So, in fact, in comparison with other people, we had it very good. But the shops were empty. Nothing. Well, within a week of me arriving home, the money was devalued. In fact, whatever you had in the bank was scrapped. You had nothing. And I can tell you, my people had a bit of money. They had, in fact, a lot of money in the bank. That was all scrapped, and you were issued with 40 new marks, which, by the way, were printed by LaRue's in London. The new marks. You were issued with 40 new marks. It was the sum total of your richness, whatever you had previously. And you started from scratch. Well, I can tell you, I had 96,000 marks in my bank account because the Navy paid my salary. That was just scrapped. I had 40 marks. And that was it. And the very next day, the shops were full to the rafters with goods. So where did it all come from? Overnight.
Was that because there was no confidence in the old currency?
Shops obviously had the goods, but it was no good selling them because the money they got for it was no good to anybody. So they obviously, the sellers were full, and that was it. And the very next day, new money came out, the shops were full of anything you wanted. And from then on, things improved rapidly. I was earning reasonable money, so I was able to buy stuff. The other thing that happened to us then, the wife became German when she married me, automatically. It was an automatic thing. She was German. After she'd been in Germany, she arrived, by the way, she arrived, I went back in 48 in June, and the wife arrived in 49 in February. Took that long to get things organized. And the wife had been there about a week when German police arrived at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning, knocked us up. We were ordered. This was then, by then, it's supposed to have been a democracy by then, but we were ordered to go and pick and collect Colorado beetles. There was an infestation of potato fields, Colorado beetles. So everybody had to go and pick Colorado beetles. Until one policeman recognized me. He said, "Don't you work at the dentist?" I say, "Yeah, I do." "Oh," he said, "you don't have to go. You are essential personnel. You don't have to go and do this." So I said, "What about the wife?" "Oh, yeah, she'll have to go." I said then, "I said, but yeah, she's English." "Oh, no, she don't have to go if she's English. Only Germans." But she wasn't English. She was German, in fact, by marrying me. Anyway, so we didn't have to go.
So she, it was a kind of forced work.
It was forced work, indeed. It was by order, yes.
Paid for it?
No. Didn't get paid for it. No. It sounded exactly like the old regime of Adolf. That continued. They still had it in their mind, yes. But people did it. And I must say, Lindbergh, when I got home, was 98% either flattened or damaged. Mostly flattened. But I must say, they rebuilt it to its original in no time at all. They really worked. I must give him credit. To this day in Norwich, there are still bomb sites today. But no sign of it within a, I don't know how long, but I went back to Germany after I came to Britain within a few years and was all gone, all built up. Now, this was another funny incident. When the wife got homesick after she's been there 6 months, by the way, she picked up the German language fluently within 6 months, when she didn't speak a word before. So well, in fact, she spoke German that when she went into town to buy a suitcase, a local woman thought she was local. She spoke it that well. She doesn't know, mind you, but did then. Anyway, she got homesick, and I could see it too. She was very thin, and so I said, tell you what, girl, we'll go back to Britain. I don't mind where I live. Anyway,
what do you think was the main problem for her?
She liked the area, the scenery, gorgeous, but she was homesick. All her friends, she missed her parents. You must forget she was only 18. I was 24, 25 then, but she was 18. You see, she was still a girl, really. Anyway, she got homesick, so I decided to try and get back to Britain on a permanent basis. I wrote to the Home Office in London, and by return of post, virtually, within a week, I had forms to fill in, which I did, sent back to London, by return of post, again. You're welcome. To come, permanent residence, all the permits were given, just like that. That puzzled me, because shortly before that, the wife had a letter from the Home Office to say she was British again. They changed the rules, they moved the goalposts, in other words. Where previously she was automatically German because she married a German. They now changed the rules. They gave her back her British status. Anyway, so she was British again, but she didn't have a passport. She had a German passport. So we went into town to the British consul. Nothing happened. They went on and on and on. Nothing. 3 days, we booked the plane in September, on September the 6th in 48, to come from Frankfurt to Heathrow. She still didn't have a passport. So we went to Munich to see the consul general, British consul general, took with us 4 bars of chocolate, oranges and cigarettes, which mother-in-law sent from Norwich, on the spot. She got a passport. But previously she couldn't get it. And she was British. She couldn't get a British passport. She'd brought a letter with her to say she was British. Still were delays. But as soon as they had the cigarettes and chocolate, and they wrote it out there and then. Anyway, so on the 6th of September, we came to Britain in an old Dakota aircraft, where we got a very, very good meal on the plane. Better ones than you get today. I got to Heathrow, when they saw my papers, the customs, they got on the phone, and within a second they said, you requested to go to the medical center. I thought they wanted to examine me to see if I got rabies or something. Anyway, and the medical officer there said, sir, he addressed me as sir, you're most welcome, we just started the health service. And that was it, basically. And I got to Norwich, and within about 3 days I started work, and that was it. That's about the end of the story, except in 1952, I started working in 49, September. In 1952, The health service suffered a setback. It was a Labour government, actually, that introduced charges, where previously it was all free. And as they introduced charges, business went absolutely flat. There was 8 of us working there at the time, but one by one they got the sack. I was last one left. And on Christmas Eve I was informed I'd have to go as well. So on Christmas Eve I went to a pawn shop in Norwich and pawned my wristwatch to buy my wife a Christmas present. Which I did. Anyway, that's where I finished up in an iron foundry, because there was no work to be had. I finished up as a labourer in an iron foundry. It was not very palatable, but I had to work. And that's where I met my friend that saved my life.
I think we've already recorded that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But evidently, the situation changed in the NHS after some time.
Within, I think it was, I was in the foundry for about 7 months. And then things gradually improved slightly. Business was picking up in the health service. So I wrote to every dentist in the city. And within a couple of days, a chap wrote and said, yes, I'm in need of help and blah, blah, and I started work again. And within a year, I packed that in and started on my own. Opened a dental laboratory in the city, employed a few people, and did this for 25 years.
So eventually you took up British nationality?
Oh, I did indeed, yes. Oh, it's the early 70s. I took up British nationality.
Did you find it easy to adjust to being English?
No. To this day, I'm told by people I'm more English than the English. I still stand up for God Save the Queen. I do. I feel English. To such an extent, don't know why it should be like that, but to such an extent that in 1966, when England beat Germany in the World Cup, I was cheering England all the way. And my neighbour couldn't believe this. I think I became disillusioned, especially with Germany after the war. The way they treated people, the way German people behaved, because I became a bit anglicized while I was a prisoner of war, because I had contact with the civil population being allowed out. They were much more laid back. And Germany is so arrogant. And that got to me when I got back to Germany. That arrogance was there all the time. They always had to be top and first, and I just couldn't take it. So I didn't mind immigrating at all.
How do you feel now about having served in the German Navy in the Second World War?
What do you mean by how do I feel about it?
It's a question I always ask everybody about how they felt in the Second World War. And I get a variety of answers.
Well, my answer would be, having had to join up anyway, I preferred the Navy. I chose the Navy, actually, through contacts my brother had, and because he was older than me, he was an officer in Berlin, and blah, blah. Anyway, I chose the Navy. I was tricked, literally tricked, into serving on a submarine, but subsequently enjoyed it, simply because it was a small command, there was comradeship, there was none of this business of saluting, or later on as it was Heil Hitler and all this business, didn't exist. And I liked that.
Could I just ask you about that incident you described some time back about arriving in Londonderry? How many people were cheering you, or cheering the POWs as they were landed at Londonderry?
You've got to take into account it's a long while ago, but guessing, there must have been at least 20 people there.
Were they dockers or civilians?
Civilians. Or? Men, women. And they were just cheering. They were just clapping us as we walked off. I was speechless. But then that happened to us in Canada. In the train, as we went through different places. In certain places, there were literally swastikas on the station, on the wall, painted swastikas on. In Canada. I mean, I know, we always knew there was a German population, a certain amount of German living in Canada, but they were allowed to do that? That we could never figure out.
But did people applaud you in Canada?
No. No, they did not. They stood there, just watching as we went through. We stopped in the station for some reason or other, and they just stood and looked. The odd one was giving a little wave, but nothing much. But in London, there were certainly clapping and cheering us.